Welcome to the Cigar Lounge, the official podcast of the Cigar Peg, where you get to know your friends a little better, learn a little bit more about each other, and grow as a community. And today, a special guest in the Cigar Lounge, the Emperor, the Benevolent Dictator, ladies and gentlemen, welcome Ed Rigsby. Hey, Ed.
Hey, Joe. Thank you for inviting me. I'm real happy to be here.
Well, you know, you sucked me into doing this, and here we are starting our second year. This episode will be the beginning of the second year, and I thought it's time to drag you onto the air.
What are you calling me in drag?
Well, you know, I don't. We don't have video, so only I can testify to what you're wearing, Ed. So, Ed, we're going to start the same way I always do with everybody. I just let everybody know, what is it Ed Rigsby is doing these days? What are you all about right now?
You know, lately, Joe, since the pandemic, well, actually, the day we're recording this, in a couple of days, I'm getting a hip replacement. But other than that, you know, as far as on the business side, you know, when the pandemic hit and all of a sudden we were all kind of home, all of our, you know, dates were canceled, this, that, and the other, I started really enjoying being home because, you know, Joe, through my entire career, I mean, back when I was in my 20s, when I was in sunglass sales, in my 30s, when I got into speaking, I've always traveled. I've always been gone. You know, if I'm home for, you know, too long, my wife would say, you know, Ed, don't you need to go on a trip somewhere? You know, it's like she needs me to disappear. But this being home was so new, so different. It was like, I like it. So like many others, I took a swivel, a shift, a whatever you call it, and, you know, started doing online communities. You know, it's I started doing the Association CEO group, which I do every Tuesday. Aiden Crawford and I started doing the Association and Society Speakers community, which we do every Wednesday. And also I've kind of really leaned into Cigar Peg more. You know, it came up with the Virtual Speakers Hall of Fame, which, you know, I got a lot of grief about from certain people around the world, not in the US, but out of the US. And it's been, Joe, I'm really happy not doing the amount of travel I used to do. I mean, don't get me wrong, I still like to travel to Hawaii. But I mean, other than that, the being home and working out of home and all that, it's just, it's such a new paradigm for me that the last couple of years, I've just been enjoying the heck out of it.
Well, maybe next month I'll interview Regina to see if she actually wants you home this much.
Well, I was getting ready to answer that, and I was going, well, you know, no sooner do I think she'd say A, she'll say B. So, we wouldn't do too well on Family Feud.
Well, you know, and I want to go back for a moment. You mentioned your executive officer group, your director's group. I forget what you call it.
Chief staff executives.
Chief staff executives. That started off as something, if I recall, as pretty much as just something to do to keep your interest.
Yes.
But it evolved into something masterful.
Yeah, you know, it was interesting, Joe. You know, I started it and just to kind of be of service to the industry, because I've been a CEO member, because of the Cigar Peg, of ASAE since, like, I think 2008. And I started it and put a lot of time into it. And I had probably about 150 people on the list, about, good 50 on every call. And then after a few months, it's like, hey, guys, this is just so much work. You guys, everybody's got to financially pitch in a little bit. And, you know, there's always a lot of people that are the remora fish, the hanger-oners. And, you know, when you ask them to put a nickel in, they run away and hide. But about 20 some odd of the association executives said, yeah, that's fair. Yeah, we'll throw some money into it. And as a paid, I think we started 2020 in July on a paid version. Up until then, it was free. And so we're getting close to 3 years now, and still got somewhere around 20 people in the group.
That's phenomenal.
Yeah,
Good.
yeah.
Very good. No, and I understand from discussions with you, it's a great service and they're getting a lot out of it because it keeps them connected.
Oh, it keeps them connected. And also for the ones that, have their CAE, as I have, that hour can be used towards education every week, an hour towards renewal for their CAE. So it's a pretty inexpensive way also for them to get CAE educational hours, because all we talk about is the stuff that association CEOs want to talk about. So that's cool too. Yeah,
That's
yeah.
beautiful. Let me ask you this. I want to talk to you a little bit about Cigar Peg, but let's start first because so many people know you. They see Cigar Peg, they see Ed Rigsby. How did you get started in the speaking business?
Oh, that's an interesting question. My beginnings in the speaking business was back in the days, this is in the 1970s, when I was selling sunglasses to ski shops and drugstores. And because I had been the ski shop manager up in Yosemite National Park at Badger Pass, I really leaned into the skiing. And so I was more interested in selling to the ski shops and the drugstores. And I started noticing that the ski reps, the guys that sold the skis, they would come in and do product clinics. And at that time, I had one of my lines was an upper-end line that competed with a very well-known name back in the day, Varnay. Mine were optically ground and polished, but just no advertising. So I bought a spectrometer, and I would go around and in the ski shops, I would do product clinics. And then I'd watch my sales jump up. And then, when the sales started slowing down, oh, time to do another product clinic. Well, after a few years of that, the sunglass company came to me and said, "Hey, this is working out pretty well for you. Can you?" And by then, I'd opened up a few ski shop chains that I had. And they then started having me teaching the other reps how to do these optical product clinics. And then also the ski shop started asking me, "Hey, can you help my salespeople with a little bit of how to sell, a little add-on, this, that, and the other?" And I started, I had been, for quite a bit of time doing, probably, I'd probably been doing these product clinics for about 10 years before I really even saw what a professional speaker was. And seen a couple of speakers at our sales meetings that I thought were horses' asses. And then in 1984, Patricia Fripp spoke at our meeting, and I fell in love with her. Fell in love with her message, who she was, what she did, how she really enjoyed making a difference. I started seeing, wow, there's beyond doing speaking as part of my business, as part of my trade, that I could go out and earn a living at it. And that was the beginning of the transition.
Yeah, and what's interesting is what you actually did was speakers tend to speak, and then all of a sudden they got this back end where they're having masterminds and bringing groups together. You started by bringing people together and then went into speaking, which I think says a lot for you because that's ingenious and that's the way it works.
Well, thank you.
Let me say, so you started speaking. What was your first market? What was your first world that you entered into?
It was retail. I
Okay.
mostly because when I kind of fast forwarding quickly, met Fripp, kind of got an interest in this, listened to Zig Ziglar talk about the National Speakers Association. I went to the LA chapter of the National Speakers Association in 1987. Some vendors pounced on me like white on rice, fresh meat. I go, whoa, disappeared. The next year, I joined NSA National because I had enough background that I could as a professional member. And then I met Dolan, John Patrick Dolan, and then joined the LA chapter later. But it was kind of like this transition. And then now, Joe, I forgot the damn question that you asked me.
That's okay. Tangents are the way we live. It's a beautiful thing. I wanted to know what you said retail, your first speaker.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Hello.
Sorry. Come on in. All right.
Back at it, Ed. It's the beginning of losing my brain. So because I'd been in retail, I had started writing articles for Action Sports Retailer magazine on add-on sales, this,
okay.
that.
Okay.
And so I started getting a little bit known in the retail world when I actually launched my business full time in January 1991. I had leveraged those articles to then give them to association editors, and I started going in the back door before I even knew what going in the back door was.
Okay.
And you know, the whole thing that I do now on, you know, selling to associations, going in the back door, it's just how I started. I wasn't any smarter. And so because retail was my world and sales and marketing was my world, you know, my first letterhead, actually, I should kind of giggle going back a little bit before that. My first speaker brochure, when we had Trifold speakers brochure, was Breakthrough. You know, I was going to be like the next LifeSpring, you know, motivational speaker. And then I, at a few of the NSA meetings, started realizing that I needed to go towards content. And because of the background in retail, I really leaned into retail organizations, retail associations, everything retail. My early materials, it was Rigsby on sales and marketing when I was doing my newsletters and putting myself out there. And that was my entrance into the business. And that's where I was my first few years until my Gold Coast Speakers Group, which I forgot what year we started that, but whatever. Oh, no, we started that in 88, in the winter of 88, 89. And that group kind of was pushing me, you know, Ed, you really need to lean into this new partnering topic, you know? So then I wrote an early book on partnering, you know, the art of partnering. So it really, I morphed from retail sales, retail add-on, retail this, retail that, to Rigsby on sales and marketing, broadening it out, to partnering, strategic alliances, broadening it out a little bit more than that.
Okay. And eventually, I know, I don't know, in between that and speaking to associations, was there something in the middle, or was that?
No, what kind of happened, you know what I used to do, Joe, in backing up, in the year 2000, a guy that, Harvey something or the other, I'd met him, I was speaking at the National Burglar Alarm Association down in Puerto Rico for their annual meeting, and we kind of hit it off. He was from the LA area, and a couple years later, he was going to be president of the California Burglar Alarm Association, and so okay. He told the executive director, hey, I want you to bring Ed Rigsby as the keynoter on partnering. And, you know, so the executive director kind of putting the squeezes to me and says, hey, well, you know, okay, we'll pay you for your keynote, but would you also do a industry roundtable discussion? I go, yeah, sure, I'll do whatever you want. Well, I'm there. Well, I did the keynote, you know, on partnering, strategic alliances. And when I did the industry roundtable discussion, it was interesting because there's a lot of board members in the room. And the way I would do back then my industry, I'd just go, okay, guys, what's on your mind? And I'd write it on the flip chart. I don't know if we can call them flip charts anymore, on the Post-it paper chart. And then we'd get all the things down, and then I'd tell everybody, okay, let's vote. Okay, who wants this? Who wants this? Who wants this? And that day, everybody wanted to talk about the value of the association.
Okay.
Good with me. It wasn't part of my plan, but fine, whatever you want. And, you know, and I'm asking questions and asking questions and asking questions. And at the end of this hour and a half session, I'm looking at all these, you know, Post-it flip chart pages all over the room. And I'm looking, I'm going, hey, you know, this is pretty interesting. I think there's something here. And, you know, it wasn't a plan. It was just, you know, happy, you know, accident. Took them all down, took it home, called up the executive director. His name is Jerry Lenander. He still is the executive director for the California Alarm Association all these years later. And I said, Jerry, I figured out from your guys what the value of membership is in actual real dollar numbers. Would you like me to write an article for you? He goes, oh, that'd be great. So, you know, I just wrote an article for him. and put it out there. And all of a sudden, I was doing qualitative research, Joe. And I'm embarrassed to say this before I even knew what qualitative research was.
Research was. Yep.
And so, and then it's that started morphing. And then it started, I would, you know, we were always going to do some kind of negotiating. Somebody's always won something. So what I would do a lot of times when, you know, because, and I heavily over my, most of my career marketed to associations, and like the association executive directors, you know, they'd be kind of pushing and shoving on the fee. And I go, tell you what, hire me to do the keynote, do a strategic alliance development keynote, and I'll throw in this member evaluation session. And a lot of times I go, that's great. I remember one time I was speaking in Austin, the national, I mean, all my, I get all the guest groups, National Brush Manufacturers Association. And one of the board members, after I did this valuation, he comes up and says, you know, your keynote was pretty good. I said, well, thank you. He goes, but you really earned your keep with this valuation session. I was like, oh, okay, well, thanks. So I started realizing that I really, really had something on being able to teach associations, here's how to prove the return on investment in actual dollar members that your members get every year for their investment. That's, and then, you know, so I started doing this in 2000. I wrote the book on the topic in 2014. So it only took me 14 years to get to a book. Yeah, I don't like to rush into these things, but it just, so that took me down a path. And quite frankly, you know, from somewhere around mid 90s to over the next 20 years to about 2015, doing so many, you know, keynotes on partnering, strategic alliances, I got tired of the subject. I just really got tired of it. And
that can happen.
So I was less pushing that out there front and center and more pushing the member evaluation front and center. So, you know, some people know me for strategic alliances. Some people know me for member ROI. Everybody at NSA knows me that I'm the association guy. So.
Well, and Ed, good doing all this. I mean, obviously you're doing the research, you're doing all this on your own, but throughout that process, who would you say were your biggest mentors or supporters that you either drew inspiration or knowledge from?
Wow, that is a hard question. Are you talking about from the get-go to now? You know, I look back at certain people.
As you were launching, let's focus, because otherwise we'll be all over. Let's focus on, as you're launching this new Ed Rigsby, King of Associations, who were you leaning on to make this happen?
The only person I can say is really Aidan Crawford, who we kind of became partners. I called up Aidan one time. See, I paid Aidan years ago. Well, let me go even back further. Way years ago, I was doing the Cigar Peg website on, you ready for this, Front Page. And
Aidan, you're old.
Yeah, Aidan said one day at the Cigar Peg, he says, you know, your website really sucks. You know, do you mind? I'll make you one just to have a better website. Yeah, sure, fine. And a couple of years later, I contacted Aidan and said, you know, hey, man, how about if I pay you and you just convert everything from my front page to a WordPress site? And he said, okay. And we just started doing more things together. And then a few years ago, a couple of years before the pandemic, one day I called him up and said, Aidan, I have got all these awesome ideas and I'm going to do none of them. And I just, because I just don't want to learn the tech. I can, but I don't want to. I said, I would rather have half of something than all of nothing. I said, you want to partner on some of this and do some things? It took him about 3 seconds, maybe 2 seconds, maybe 1 second. I don't know. He goes, yep, let's do it. So because of that, having him to help me do the tech, and he's always coming up with great ideas too. Hey, Ed, why don't you do this? Hey, Ed, why don't you do that? Hey, Ed, why don't you do this? And a lot of the things that I maybe would have never thought about. So that was a great help. Also, Joel Block has been a real Jiminy Cricket in my ear. We've been friends for a long time, you know, until recently when he moved to Colorado. We'd get together frequently for cigars.
Oh, I thought you were going to say, now that he moved to Colorado, you're not friends anymore, you said, until recently.
Yeah. Don't you hate it when people leave? It's like, yeah, screw you. We're not friends anymore. You move.
Joel, okay, let's move on. Joel abandoned you. Let's keep going.
Yeah. But anyway, what I was going to say, Joel and I, we get together a lot of times for cigars and just sit and just gas on. And it was like actually Joel's idea that I do the office hours for the association executives. Wasn't my idea. It was Joel's idea. And so Joel has been really, really helpful in helping me see a little bit bigger picture for myself, seeing things that Aiden's been really helpful in the tech and coming up with ideas. And you know, I hate to admit it, you know, Joe, but just, you know, a lot of the chats that you and I have had of you know, I don't want you to get your head too big here, but have really helped me to see things in a different way.
And it's not going to make my head big. I've led a lot of people to ruin in my life.
Okay.
You're just one of them. Go ahead.
Well, you know, you
I like ruin.
Yeah. You know, I mean, I've watched how you interrogate people. I know you call it crass examine, but I just call it the master inquisitor. And so there's been a lot of folks. My sons are constantly kind of pushing me because they're millennials, and they're pushing me to look at things from a different way, as is my daughter-in-law, or one of my daughter-in-laws. And so, you know, I can't say, Joe, that there's been one person.
No,
there's just so many people, and you know, I'm probably like many people. I'm a little bit resistant when somebody starts talking to me, and I'm going, oh God. And then after a while, I start listening and going, well, gosh, maybe they're right. And then I listen a little bit more and go, oh, shit, they really are right. And so, you know, I'm not fast on the uptake to glom on to what people recommend, but when I do finally glom onto it, I'm like a bulldog with it. So, you know, I'm not the guy that's changing directions every three seconds. But you know, when I do accept counsel from a trusted advisor, I'm like a bulldog.
I can see that. I also think, Ed, because of Cigar Peg and what you've created, you have your own gravitational pull, and a lot of cool people are drawn towards you. And you have access to that. And I can imagine sometimes it gets tiring, but it's worth it.
You know, Joe, here's one of my hardest things. I have a really hard time asking for help. I don't know what it is about me. It's just, you know, we all got our stuff. That's one of my stuff. And there are so many awesome people in the Cigar Peg that almost anybody I could call and say, hey, could you help me with this? Could you help me with that? And they do it. But I'm very hesitant. I'm almost like I don't want to be seen as taking advantage or me taking advantage of others. And so I'm kind of like the last person to ask for help. And I know I should be better at that, but no. Oh, well,
you'll get better.
Yeah. I'll work on it someday. I'll work on it.
Let me ask you this. Looking back on all of it, I don't care, Cigar Peg, everything you've done in your life, if you could give advice to yourself when you were back in high school about where your career should go, what advice would you have given your younger self?
Yeah, you know, that's an interesting question, Joe, because I've listened to you ask that question of a lot of speakers, and some people would answer it and some people wouldn't. Let me think back, you know, 17 years-ish, somewhere around there. Number one, I'd tell myself to get my head out of my ass. That would probably be the first bit of advice. I would tell myself to, you know, get rid of the chip on your shoulder. That would be another piece of advice. I come from humble beginnings, and I probably would have told myself, find a mentor. I had, when I was in high school, I was in a group sponsored by the Masonic Lodge called DMLA. It's for, you know, young men. And, you know, my stepdad was a nice guy. He put a roof over my head. He put food on the table. You know, just decent guy. Not the sharpest tack on the board, but a decent guy. But he wasn't a father figure, and that was a challenge. But one of the advisors in DMLA, his name was Don Murray, and he really was a father figure. And I did listen to him sometimes. Probably my advice would have been listen to him more intently and do what he said. That probably would have been the biggest piece of advice. Listen to Don Murray and do what he told me to do.
I like it. I like it. Well, you know, if we all listened back then, our lives would never have been nearly as exciting. So, and I kind of know what's, I know the answer to this next question I want to ask, but you have an upcoming project that will be dropping shortly after this interview airs. You're writing a new book, correct?
Oh, okay. I wasn't sure what we were talking about.
Yes, no,
Oh,
tell me about
yeah.
the
Boy,
process. Tell us.
I've been going crazy. Been working on this thing. And this was Jonathan, my youngest son's idea. So we're at his house, and you know, he's a numbers guy. He's got his own business, and he just we're kicking around numbers and this and that. And so this was his idea, not mine. So, and then I hit Aiden up with it, and he loved it. So Aiden and I are writing a book. We're still arguing about the title, but the working title, which it's, who knows what the title's going to actually be, but the working title is the definitive authority on selling to associations. Now, what the title will actually be, don't know, but it's really taking everything that I've been teaching, putting it in a book form, because I've never done that before. And you know, I mean, think years of doing weekend or 2 day retreats, you know, intensives. You've been to them. A lot of people have been to them, and putting it in a book form. And then at the NSA convention, we're going to give it away. So Aiden and I, we popped the 5 grand that NSA wanted. But you know, yeah, I know. We popped. And so there. So on Sunday morning. It's going to be a book drop. Our book is going to be given to everybody, and then we'll have a booth there. I'm not working the booth. Aiden's working the booth. I just told him I'm not working a booth. But and so it's you know, when we started, and Joe, I'm still not completely sure how Aiden and I started this association and
Well, let me
speaking
interrupt. So
for
I just want to
community.
make it clear. So the book's going to be given to every registrant of influence.
Every well, the way it's going to work,
Yeah.
everybody that goes to the Sunday general session will
Right.
be handed a book,
Got it.
and then whatever books are left over, we have a table at wherever the vendor tables are going to be. We'll have a table. It'll be working the table and handing out books to anybody else.
Great.
So
Okay.
yeah, everybody that's there will get a book, and we're not holding back. You know, here's what you need to know to sell to
That's
associations,
awesome. Good.
and it's really the intent is to show people, look at this community that Aiden and I have created to help you sell to associations. You know, we'd like you to join the community. Now, if you don't want to join the community, cool, don't join the community. Just read the book and go do what we tell you. If you want to make it easier on yourself and have all the extra special resources that we're creating, like the conversations that you helped me to understand were so valuable, then join the community. So it's about we would like to join our association and society speaker to community to, you know, 200 or 300 people. I mean, and then it will be a viable enterprise that will allow us to really put even more energy. We're putting a lot of energy into it now. So it's all these things. So Joe, it's really actually kind of exciting to me because like I'm over on this side. Every Tuesday, meeting with association CEOs, listening to their problems and all their issues. And then I'm over here, I'm interviewing people that are decision makers on hiring speakers. Then over here, I'm talking to speakers about their problem and selling to associations. And it's all putting all this stuff into the Cuisinart. And what comes out is is the Association and Society of Speakers community. You know, bingo.
Yep. I get it. I watched it happen. It's awesome. You know, I actually wanted to interview you and talk to you a little bit about the cigar peg, but I think we're getting to the point in the interview where I'm going to have to ask you, can you commit to another interview so we can do that again in a couple of weeks or months?
Anytime.
Because we didn't get to it. You and I had too much to talk about today.
Well, you told me you wanted to talk about the history of cigar peg. We never got there.
I know. That's what I'm saying. We got to do that another time.
Okay.
Because I had fun talking about you this time, but let's do this as we wrap up. I just want to know from you, Ed Rigsby, what is the single biggest failure you've ever faced in your business?
In my business?
Yes. I don't want to ask you about life because that could get to be too long and falling off decks and things like that.
I don't know if there's a single, but I've had situations where I tried to push my audience too hard, and you know, in believing I was of service to them, but it didn't work out that way, you know. Okay. I can think of one time I allowed an association CEO to make me take a whole, he wanted me to go through my whole presentation before I gave it. And then he made me take a whole section. I says, this is going to make my people angry.
Oh.
And I said, okay, which I shouldn't have said, okay. And then my presentation was hollow. And then at the end he goes, oh, you didn't give a good presentation. I'm not going to pay you the second half. Well, you know,
okay.
He paid me the second half. He did some really stupid things, but you know, and I've had, you know, there's been, I guess, if I could put it in one frame, I thought I did my homework, but I didn't do enough homework.
Okay.
And I can look at a few situations that didn't work out that just, I look back and go, God, that was really bad. It was because I thought I did my homework and I thought I was ready. But for some reason, now some of it was, you know, beyond my control, or thing people would hold stuff back or not give me complete information. But still, I'm the speaker, I'm responsible.
Right.
And it's just, I think that I would say that it's in the times when I just, for whatever reason, maybe very busy, who knows, just didn't do my homework at the depth that I should have. And as a result of that, not so good things happened.
And that is a mistake all of us can learn from. So what a perfect way for us to end today on a learning lesson.
There you go.
Normally, Ed, I ask everybody how people can get in touch with them. So I'm just going to say, go to the Cigar Peg website and you'll find out how to get a hold of Ed at cigarpeg.com. And Ed, what's the best email for people to hit you up if they're looking for information from you?
You know, I think the best one is edrigsby@gmail. edrigsbee@gmail. I've got a ton of other email addresses, but if you really, 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 really want to get a hold of me, use edrigsby@gmail.
Well, that's what they'll do. And Ed, thank you for joining us in the Cigar Lounge.
Thank you, Joe.
I appreciate having you here today. Have a great night.
Thanks.
And we thank you, our listener members. Please join us every 2 weeks as we drop a new episode, placing another Cigar Peg member in the spotlight of the Cigar Lounge.